it's poignant that on June the 2nd we look at a passage that refers to a king whose reign is eternal. Now, many kings and queens would desire a rule lasting forever, wouldn't they? I mean, who wouldn't want to live and rule forever if you're in that position? And the coronation hymn, Zadok the Priest, speaks into this with the words, God save the king. Long live the king. God save the king. May the king live forever. But nothing lasts forever, does it? Except for that which is eternal. And Paul has already told us in chapter 6 that God is eternal and no one else. The Bible always has the potential to blow your mind. Its author is, after all, God, the eternal one. So we shouldn't be surprised that an all-powerful, all-knowing God, who is the author of our scripture, through the intervention of the Holy Spirit, communicating through whoever is holding the pen, we shouldn't be surprised that these words have the potential to blow our mind. And this passage from Hebrews is one of those passages that when you read it, you come away from it and just think, what on earth was that about? As you kind of grasp, half grapple and half understand, perhaps in a state of disbelief, what has been written. And then when you read Genesis chapter 4, verses 17 to 20, and Psalm 110, which complement these words from Hebrews, you may well then want to utter the words, wow, how is this possible? Realizing as you do so the gravitas of what is written, the authority of what is written. At which point, if you're like me, you feel very, very small and realise how very, very big God is. See, the priest in Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 to 20, that Paul alludes to, sure sounds a lot like Jesus. And so he should. Some scholars say that Melchizedek of Genesis chapter 14 was a mere mortal, a man who was an actual king of a literal city named Salem. Other scholars believe that Melchizedek was something more than that. Some say he was a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. More on that later. But the word Melech in Hebrew means king. Zedek in Hebrew means righteousness or justice. His name means literally King of Righteousness. Do we know another king with such a deserving title? He is King of Salem, likely to be Jerusalem, God's holy city. What's more, Salem comes from the word shalom, meaning peace. This king is literally the King of Peace. Do we know another king deserving of such a title? And Abraham gives him a tenth of the spoils. To whom do we offer a tithe of a tenth? Furthermore, he is described as being without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God. He remained a priest forever. We can say, at the very least, that Paul is saying this is one who appeared in the likeness of Jesus. But whether we believe the priestly king of Genesis 14 to be the pre-incarnate Jesus, who we know already existed as the Word in the Trinity with the Father and the Spirit at creation, is only of secondary importance here. What is of most importance is the teaching that Paul has given to the Hebrews regarding who Jesus is. He is still teaching Christology. He is still teaching doctrine about God. Remember, this is Paul's doctrine 101 to the Hebrews. Although, for what it's worth, I'm in favour of the theory that this priestly king is a pre-incarnate Jesus, busy operating as only God can beyond the curtain, as Paul describes it in his previous chapter. That is, outside of the realms of time and space, perhaps busily fulfilling prophecies that we expect a second coming Messiah to fulfil. After all, Jesus' own appearance to Paul in bodily form is not in keeping with the linear time story of the incarnation, the resurrection, and ascension. So Paul would not struggle to preach and teach this message about God operating outside of time and space. What we have before us, though, is a beautiful Old Testament picture of our new covenant Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul wants to get across to the Hebrews, these truths about who Jesus is and the authority behind his office. In all of Scripture, only Melchizedek and Jesus held both the office of priest and king at the same time. And Paul wants the Hebrews to see Jesus as the high priest who intercedes on our behalf before the Father, but also as the righteous king. Melchizedek and Jesus are both described as having no earthly father. Melchizedek and Jesus both have no beginning of days or end of life. And Paul wants the Hebrews to know who Jesus is, that he is the eternal one, that he is God. As Paul alluded to in the earlier chapter, when God made his covenant with Abram, there was no higher authority he could swear by other than himself. And Paul wants the Hebrews to know that the Son is the same as the Father. He has always existed and is eternal. His authority is absolute. He is the truth. He is the priest that you want to intercede on your behalf. And to finish the picture, Melchizedek brings bread and wine to Abraham, even as Jesus brought bread and wine out to his disciples at the First Communion. Friends, I believe these are signposts pointing towards what Jesus would go on to do in his capacity as priest and king, and signs that God has always been in charge, that God's plan is being revealed, that even in the earliest times, his intention was to reconcile all humankind to himself through the Son, who is the high priest and the king. In short, what Paul wants the Hebrews to know and remember is to know truths about God, is to know his power, and to know the ministry he set forth before the Son, and to know that the Father and the Son are the same, and that the Son as God has always been a participant in the story, from creation, throughout the covenant being formed, and into salvation for all who believe and place their trust in him. Adding to the mystery of Melchizedek, though, is that after Genesis 14, we don't see him mentioned again until Psalm 110. In Psalm 110, verse 4, the author David, seemingly out of nowhere, writes, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." It's amazing, isn't it, the way the whole Bible fits together to tell the story of salvation through Jesus Christ. By chance, it seems, that this priest mentioned by name is present in Genesis, and then again in Psalms, and then again in Hebrews. And it is only when we hear in Hebrews that we understand the importance of this Melchizedek. When Paul wrote, he was writing to the Hebrews. He didn't know that his writings would form part of the canon, form part of the scripture, but God did, and the Holy Spirit who prompted the writers to refer to this high priest brings it to completion by directing Paul with his pen and by directing those who would put Hebrews into the canon. This statement in the fourth verse in Psalm 110 is completely cryptic by itself until the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, we learn that the person referred to in Psalm 110 as a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek is Jesus Christ. And Psalm 110 is unmistakably about Jesus, isn't it? Just as Psalm 22 is unmistakably about Jesus. That psalm that says, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you presented these two psalms before someone, they may well mistakenly identify them as being from the New Testament, so accurate they are about their depiction of Jesus as the Messiah. But it shows how wonderfully interwoven God's plan was. In Hebrews, we're reminded that the lesser is always blessed by the greater. And this is Jesus' ministry. Levi, the father of the Levitical priesthood and Abram's great-grandson, is not yet born at the time of Melchizedek's blessing, but Levi is in effect being blessed by this priest-king as superior to the priesthood that is to come, as it will be this priesthood which remains afterwards. So Hebrews chapter 7 establishes the superiority of the order of Melchizedek over the order of Levi. This order which, regardless of whether we believe in the pre-incarnational Jesus or not, speaks of our new covenant priest, Jesus Christ, as being completely superior to the priesthood given by the law, given by the Levitical priesthood. For without a doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Jesus blesses those who place their trust in him. And as the eternal, all-powerful priest, he will intercede on our behalf. And his intercession lasts as his eternity lasts forever. And indeed, the greater would be a blessing to all, is a blessing to all. As like the priest-king in Genesis, Jesus presents both the bread and the wine as a blessing, his body and his blood as an atoning sacrifice for all. We'll say more on this next time, but we'll participate in these signs now, these promises delivered by the high priest, Jesus, as we come to the Lord's table. Amen.